Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, come on. Turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not America's sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
It's astounding what's happening. The only one piece of good news, my son lives out here and his wife. They got a notification yesterday their home was probably burned to the ground. Today, it appears that it may be still standing. We're not sure. But the good news is I'm a great-grandfather as of today. I have a granddaughter, 10-pound, 4-ounce baby girl, a baby boy. So I can remember this day for a lot of wrong reasons.
It's hard to ask the question right now as to whether or not, you know, we are asking you on our YouTube poll, is the size and scope of the LA fires a result of government mismanagement? But when you see the guy who's at the top come in and be so tone deaf in the moment, does government have a fingerprint at all on how catastrophic all of this has been? Let's ask our friend Tyrus about it.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Enough said.
Well, you know him as a regular on Gutfeld. He's a Fox News contributor. He's an author. He hosts Maintaining with Tyrus on Outkick. The resume is long, but he also comes to us on the Annie Fry Show. Tyrus, Happy New Year. Good to have you back.
Always a pleasure.
When you're watching the coverage of these fires, my understanding is you probably know that area pretty well.
Yeah, I lived in Altadena, worked there for a long time. I'm a little worried about. There's a lot of foster homes and group homes in that area. And I know they don't get a lot of press coverage. So
yeah.
I'm concerned with some of the places I used to work and if the kids in place and over there, you know, because that was kind of the last stop for a lot of them. So with the homes going the way they are, it's a little troubling. But I think, again, it just goes back to another blue city with completely qualified people who are given jobs based on who they go in the bedroom with, completely not prepared because they spend all their time with DEI and parades and not doing what's needed to be doing, cutting budget for ridiculous spending. And then now we're in a situation where they ran out of water in some cases we're hearing, or they had opportunities. And President Trump has been very vocal about California. And it's not like wildfires are new,
yeah.
You know, and the fact that they're not, that they just don't do anything. And Governor Newsom's a joke. He should resign. The mayor should resign. The fire chief should be fired on the spot. Again, New Orleans, same thing. Chicago, same thing, where they're never, ever, everything's a soft target because they live in these fake realities where they think having parades and honoring diversity has anything to do with the job at hand. Your job, you know, your mayor cuts the budget by, what, $17 million? And she had the best answer ever, stared off into space.
Yeah.
That sums it all up. That's all we need to know. Then we had the great quote. We had the great answer in New Orleans where we had a plan. The terrorist just, he beat it. And that's not leadership. You know, that's the passing the buck. She didn't have anyone to blame. That's why she was quiet. So, and that's the sad part about these blue city officials. They're completely unqualified, given positions to people based on, again, the DUI stuff. And great, you have a diverse group of incompetents. Now, listen, there was a time when in my community, you know, they would be, well, we're going to hire the first black this. But in our own community, we're like, we don't want a black idiot doing the job. We want the best and brightest. And if it happens that individual is black, great, awesome. But if not, if the best, most qualified person to do the job of fire chief happens to be Asian person, great. I don't care. I just want to be able to put out a fire.
Yeah.
You know, to be in a neighborhood, to be in an area where wildfires this time of year are a thing. It's not a made-up construct. It is a thing. And the best that you could come up with was, well, you know, we're working on diversity. To be a firefighter, you have to pass physical tests. You have to do things. That's why it seems to be more men are interested in doing that job statistically. That's not, it's not a sexist thing. And it's just ridiculous to where you're, what are you going to do, lower the standards? You know, just like they lowered the standards to give you the job. It just makes everybody weaker. And we're seeing the result of it. And it's, again, there's no coincidence when you see the leadership. It's the same story. It's the same people who are given jobs based on everything else but qualifications. And it's literally the most un-American thing that you could possibly do, in my opinion. Yeah.
Spot on, Tyrus, joining us right now. You're the perfect person to ask this question to, because I opened up my show talking about, you know, the revelation of where the water is going and why it's going where it's going. And the whole country is learning about smelt today and yesterday evening. But there is a way to care about your environment, to preserve your environment, about nature. You love nature. You care about animals very passionately.
I'm avid. Yeah, I raise fish.
The left cares more about those animals than they care about humans, though. And
no,
they've been doing that for 40 years.
They don't care about the animals.
Okay.
That's the joke. They care about the funding that goes to that. They care about the charities that are set up for this stuff, for the lobbyists who get money. Like,
so they care about themselves.
At its finest. No, they don't. And if you told them, like, what does it look like, they'd look at you like they were crazy. It sounds good. It's just like the Green New Deal, complete fraud. They didn't care about the polar bears. According to them, there would be not any polar bears left on the planet. Here's the thing about Mother Nature. When you are specially designed for a certain environment, the environment's going to change, and there's nothing that the tree huggers can do about it. And if you're a small fish in a desert area, you might not make it. That's how it works. In a lot of cases, they evolve and switch, and some die out. That's the side of it. That's one of the ugly things of civilization going. But here's the thing. It didn't work. So all the effort was about kickbacks and lobbyists. It had nothing to do with smelt, because their little plan with the smelt didn't work anyways. But what they did do was they put an endangered species as someone living in the hills of California. That's what they did do. And their answers are laughable. It's always blaming somebody else. And now it's, well, these, you know, you have to understand these fire hydrants aren't really designed for this. And especially not when you cut the budget the way you did. Especially not when you refused to let California use natural water resources, ice melting from mountains. You were bragging about all the dams you stopped and tore down. Like, you just don't get it. Like, it's laughable, and these people are going to continue to do this. I don't understand what it's going to take for the people of California, the people of Chicago, New Orleans, to realize that the left that they read, that they grew up with, is not the left anymore. It's these progressive people who, it's a money grab, and they put unqualified people in positions as favors. Also, it takes the eyes off them. I couldn't possibly look at the mayor of New Orleans. I couldn't possibly be misappropriating funds. Look at all the people of diversity I put in jobs. Like, it's a virtue signaling front. And now it's come home to roost, and we had a terrorist who just basically made a right-hand turn against their plan. And California is burning down, literally. Southern California is burning to the point where it's going to be decades. And their answer is, well, you know, it's kind of on the people. And, well, because they don't have them, they're trying to find someone to blame. And this is where the American voter has to smarten up. Yeah. And this is why people are leaving California. This is why people are leaving New York. This is why people are leaving Chicago. Because they're like, I don't think the general public gets it.
Yeah.
But maybe because this is going to affect a higher end of Californians, people with money that are losing, you know, their houses, their mansions. And, you know, let's think about all the livestock and all the horses and animals that have been burnt up, and people have lost their way of lives. The schools have been burnt down. Maybe this will wake up California.
Tyrus, in the wake of great catastrophe, I thought it was a blessing to watch you on the 5 after the New Orleans scenario happened, because it was good to hear your straight talk. I think what I hear you saying right now is that the people in these areas need to wake up to reality.
They got
to
wake up.
Is that going to happen?
Well, this is your reality.
Will they do it?
I don't know. You know, that because usually the progressives in these blue cities, usually they luck out, and only their bad policies hurt the bottom of the socio and economic. So it's the poor people that get screwed. And their attitude is like, well, it's not us, it's racism. But that's their go-to. I mean, that's exactly how they do it. Here's the situation now as to where it's hurting the celebrities that they need endorsements from. It's hurting the people that cut the checks to them. So maybe in California, now that, you know, it's Armageddon, basically, there. I saw the pictures of the planes flying in from LAX. Maybe all those executive producers and all those people are no longer like, hey, and those CEOs who live up there and those big-time stars who live up there, maybe they'll start caring about what's going on in their state, and they'll do something about it. They'll stop supporting. They'll come out and be like, we just need someone to get the job done, qualify. We don't care if they're Republican or Democrat. It's just that they need to get the job done. We need to get actual firefighters to be the chiefs, people who know how to run the business. Let's get a police chief that actually spent time in the SWAT team. You know, let's start getting people that are qualified, that can handle in wartime situations. And when I say war, I'm not in terms of like a massive something bad happens and they have the skill set and the experience to plan ahead, to be like, hey, if our little barrier things aren't working, I've got 2 warehouses full of portable ones. All you got to do is wheel them out and put the wheels down in New Orleans. Somebody who actually has common knowledge is qualified to do the job. And stop making America such a soft target. It's sad. All this is preventable. Wildfires are a part of California, but there is management, and this is blatant mismanagement. And I'd love to see where the funding went.
Yeah. Yes, it's exactly what you were saying, too, about New Orleans. I think that's a great question that needs to be asked. Tyrus, Happy New Year to you. I hate talking about these types of things with you, but this is going to be a good year, and we're grateful that you're going to come along with us on the ride. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
Take care. Tyrus is a regular on Gutfeld, Fox News contributor. His book, you can check out, Nuff Said, and just Tyrus, 2 books that he has had. You should check them out. They're great, great reads. If you're looking to read more in 2025, start with those books. And he will, in just Tyrus, the first one that he wrote, he talks about living in California. He's lived everywhere. He's got a lot of experience with these communities. So he has a very firsthand experience of what it's like to exist in these places. And I think It's a very interesting perspective because it's a real one. And that's, again, that's what I feel like 2025 is. It's the year of real. We're getting back to what is real. If you listen to that clip yesterday that we played from Charlemagne, who was like, Donald Trump showed me that you don't have to do any of this political speak nonsense. You can just say stuff. It can bother some people and it can still cut through and reach people. And he said that was what his lesson learned from Donald Trump was. The people are going to start looking at what's real. And it's to me, the weirdest part about a new mentality of being able to, this is crazy. Brace yourself. Live publicly in reality. The ability to embrace what is real with no fear. Once you start peeling back those layers of things that we've all been doing to try to stay out of fights and not offend people for so long. Once you get to be, I really hate this phrase, but your authentic self. That's what we've been, the authentic self phrasing really came out of something that was ironically kind of woke. People wanted to be who they were without having any fear. And in doing so, they made people who were unlike them and maybe like you have to go cower and live in fear if you wanted to be deemed a reasonable person. You don't have to do that anymore. And that doesn't mean you have to come out and be an a-hole about anything, of course. But it's time to start living and dealing in a world of reality because you can't fix real problems with faux reality solutions. Because you get what you're getting right now in California where you look at, you have to ask yourself, okay, what's the problem? Let's identify the problem. Wild, out of control fires with no water in a desert land. My children could know those details and assess the situation to be problematic. If you know that's the case, then the question is, the people who are in charge that have access to the dramatic amount of dollars that they take away from the taxpayers, what is their priority? Ask yourself that of every single elected official that serves you. What is your priority? And if those priorities are out of order, and I don't care if they're an R or a D or an I or an L or whatever it might be, if those priorities are out of order, make it known, push them and pressure them in a diplomatic way to get their priorities in order. And if that doesn't happen, replace them frequently. Let's speak with Congressman Mike Boss when we come back, Illinois' 12th District Representative. He's going to talk to us about the House of Representatives. Will it be effective? We've watched the House be not as effective, I think, as you would like to see a Republican majority handle their business. It's a different game with Donald Trump in the Oval Office. What has this Congress done so far? The Laken Riley Act, among other things. And what is on deck here for the near future? Congressman Boss next.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're looking at the one bill versus two bills, and whatever it is, doesn't matter. We're going to get the result, and we're going to make America great again, and we'll see you in a little while.
So Donald Trump, very happy to be back on Capitol Hill. Yesterday, we talked a little bit about how he was going to meet with the Republican senators. Getting Donald Trump back in the Oval Office is a big deal, but he's already working hard to make sure that he can get done for the American people what he promised he would do. Now, that is going to have to go through a very slim Republican majority in the House of Representatives. Can they get the job done? Well, let's ask one.
How does it feel to be back in the U.S. Capitol?
Congressman Mike Bost back on the Annie Fry Show with us. Welcome
Hi,
back
Annie.
To the show. Good to have you.
How? Hi, Annie. Thanks for having me on.
How's your new year going on Capitol Hill so far?
Well, we've been busy. You know, we got the speaker elected. There was a... You know, some discussion. Thank heaven.
There is some discussion. That's good.
There is some discussion, but we did get him on the first vote.
Yeah.
Kind of drug it out a little bit. You know, we've got some other things that we have been working on, because the committees have not been populated yet. Our Republicans have been. I'm a little worried right now because I'm watching the Democrats and they're dragging their feet on putting their members into their our committees. And we can't start our work until they get that done. And so I hope that they're going to get that done as quick as possible. We were hoping by next week.
Is that a move on their part? Is that?
Yeah, I think so. I think it is. I think they're doing it to just slow things down, you know, and you know, here we are, we're biting at the bit, is the best way I can describe it, with things that we've got to get done. We had a meeting with the leadership in Baltimore last weekend to discuss and working on how we're going to put this together for reconciliation. I'll be headed down to Mar-a-Lago tomorrow, actually, and then have a meeting on Friday. All of the chairs are meeting with the president-elect to discuss, you know, his We know what his priorities are. It's the best strategy so that we don't lose some of our own members. And you know, you heard the argument and discussion. Should it be one bill? Should it be two? I'm going to vote for it no matter what. Okay, if it's one or two. But the thing is, I believe that if one bill would make sure that everybody votes for it, and though they might not like one thing or another, we won't have to try to. My big fear is that something breaks down and we have certain of our own members that don't go with us, and that would be tragic, because right now, you know, we've got to get this done. And in reconciliation, it's kind of wonky what reconciliation is. It's a process by, if you have control of the House, control of the Senate, and the president, it allows us to bypass the cloture rule in the Senate. For the one time, because it's moving budgetary concerns, and it has to do, there's a thing called the Byrd rule, and that was because former member Byrd kind of set up a situation where it has to be part of a budget process, and it also has to deal with mandatory spending. And the person who makes that decision, whether the language is doing what is required under the Byrd rule, is the parliamentarian in the Senate, and I'm not making this up, as he does what is known as the Byrd bath, which is basically go through and make sure nothing, I'm not joking, that's what it's called. And
nobody's surprised.
I have been, just so you know, I have been through this process one time before, and that was when Trump was elected the first time. And with that, at that time, remember, it was his first time being president, and Paul Ryan was there. They didn't necessarily agree as well and as much as he does with Mike Johnson. So I think we're going to, but the question is how do we make sure it meets all those requirements, and how do we get it done as quick as possible? We're looking at to possibly get it by April. In there, what we're looking for, and he's looking for.
Is this the two bills versus the one big beautiful bill? Is that what you're talking about right now?
Yeah. Yeah, basically what we are proposing is we put the border issue, the tax relief issue, and the debt limits all in one. And the debt limit is, there's a reason why we would move the debt limit. Not that we're going to spend more, because we're going to reduce the overall budget. But the debt limit, which has to make sure that the credit of the United States is good, and that we aren't basically going get our credit rating dropped and everything like that. Yeah, no default, right? And so we have to do it. But if we do it now during reconciliation, it doesn't allow Chuck Schumer to be in a position to have to negotiate and push the Democrats' view, which will then cost us more money.
Okay.
Because they always cost us more money.
Yeah, that's kind of the slogan of the party. Let's back up here a little bit, because all of these things that you were talking about, American voters, people listening right here in St. Louis and on the east side, in the 12th district that you represent in the House of Representatives, you're going to hear a lot about this stuff coming up. And I want to make sure that some of these bold-faced words that you just talked about, that people mm-hmm. understand them, because I definitely find myself, you speak in jargon, I speak in jargon, and then you'd kind of talk over the people who need to understand it. The first thing that I want to highlight is you talked about the Democrats maybe slow walking their committee appointments just to slow down the process. They know it's coming every day that they can delay. It's about all that they can do right now. Tell me why the committees are important to get these types of things done in order, like, where does the committee what's their role in the process of getting a bill?
And that's why the committee chairs are going down to meet with the president, is because each committee has things that can be put in reconciliation. These are the type things that you can really, because you're dealing with mandatory spending. You can, and whenever I say mandatory spending, there's two areas of mandatory spending, according to Bird Rill, you cannot touch. So your listeners need to know that. And that is Medicare and Social Security. Those cannot and will not be touched. So don't let anybody try to...
Don't freak out.
Don't freak out. That's right.
Remember, Republicans have your back on that, yeah.
Right. Remember, the only time that Medicare was reduced was not by Republicans. It was when Obamacare came into existence, and that's how they funded part of it.
Okay, so you talked about reconciliation as a way for the two chambers to come together to get the job done. When it comes to budgetary things, in order for the Senate to pass budgetary things, my understanding is when it has to do with budget stuff, you just need a simple majority in the Senate now. Is that correct?
For the reconciliation, it is, because it's what it's doing is they are reconciling with the House. So therefore, that's where the term comes up. We send them the budget in this form, which is all of the things that fall under reconciliation. And then they simply have to have a simple majority vote to accept it after it has had went through the Byrd Rule.
So then after that, does it have to pass the Senate after it comes out of reconciliation?
No.
That is the passing, and then it goes to the president.
That is the passing. So we would pass a bill over, mm-hmm. And you get to do this with every budget. And that's why they say you get to do it one time with each budget. That's whenever we're saying, the reason being is, you remember, we haven't passed the 2025 budget yet. So we can actually use reconciliation on that. And then after April, we'll be working on 2026. And so we'll get another reconciliation. But we don't believe that we should do that in the House. OK, we'll see what he has to say this weekend. But we believe that the biggest fear we have is if we get the border done and all of a sudden they don't want to do we're afraid we're going to lose the tax relief in it. And the tax relief has to be done by December.
Okay.
And so that is the argument. But by putting them together, it puts enough sweeteners in that all of us are able to stay together, because we have certain members that, you know, and I mean, I'm going to work to get this done, because this is how we govern.
Can you tell us who those members are? Who's going to balk on this?
Well, it's a possibility of Chip Roy. There's a possibility of those members of the Freedom Caucus that you see the most, which is really wild, because they want to help Trump. But if you want to help Trump, you want to get this done.
Is Trump going to be able to rule with the iron fist and make them get in line?
I hope so. I watched when he did with Mike Johnson, and he came on board and helped. My hope is that he is right in the middle of this process, which I believe he will be, and that he will send a clear message back to the constituents which elected them, which also elected him. And that is why it's important for us to stay together.
Congressman Mike Boss speaking with us right now. He represents Illinois' 12th district in the House of Representatives. I'm just interested in the comparison of Donald Trump's leadership of this slim majority of Republicans, his influence, his participation, his communication with this Republican majority. You're not in the Democratic Party, obviously, but compare for me Donald Trump's ability to lead here versus what Joe Biden has done with initially a majority of Democrats in the House. How much involvement did Biden have in getting this stuff done?
Well, here's the thing about, I'm going to say this the best way I can. When you see Democrats around here, they all fall in line and follow like lemmings their leadership. Republicans think a lot, and we all have our own opinions. And because of that, quite often the arguments get to a point that, and that's one thing that I want to make sure of, too, and the speakers want to make sure of, and this president has to make sure of, is that we don't have a member run out and make a statement, I'd never vote for this, the statement, one of them said I would never, well, for instance, remember this about Tom Massey, who voted no on the speaker, he's never voted for a speaker, ever. He is a libertarian that goes under the title Republican. And because of that, he's real clear. So it's those type things. If a person makes a commitment, hey, I would never vote for I would never vote for a debt limit increase. Well, that's fine when the Democrats are in control, because you know they're going to go ahead and blow through that debt limit right on to the next. But you also have to govern now, because we're in the majority, and that statement is going to put you over. It put you in a bad situation if you've told your constituents that, because we've got to govern. And so that's the big difference. Somehow with your Democrats, and I don't know whether it's was Nancy Pelosi's leadership style.
Yeah, that's my question. I'm thinking who was in charge?
Yeah, well, Nancy, for sure, on the Democrat side, and she holds them in line and has. And remember, but the slim majority, she had a slim majority her last time as speaker. You got to remember when John Boehner was there, that was a huge majority. We need 218 to be in the majority, and we had 242 when I got here.
Man, Congressman Boss, when I'm thinking about what's lying ahead and this super slim Republican majority, I'm thinking a lot about some of these purple district Democrats. I'm in the 13th. Mm-hmm. Nikki Budzinski is my representative. She's a Democrat. And every time I see one of these crazy bills and I'm like, who's voting against the Laken Riley Act? I'm always going to look at where she votes. And I want a Republican in that district, but she seems to vote purple more than she votes blue.
Well, when they give her permission to.
I'm sure. It's the same way as the Illinois state legislature. But my question to you is, do you find yourself interested in working with any of these Democrats? You think some of these Democrats are going to come over across the line and get stuff done?
If the Democrat wants to secure our border, reduce crime, expand so that we can become energy efficient, independent again, wants to deal with foreign affairs issues the way we would, and do things that are smart government, I want them on board with us. I'm more than willing, with the VA, quite often we were working through, and we got the Elizabeth Dole Act with a lot of Democrat support. Unfortunately, it was the ranking member on the Democrat side over here that didn't want us to move anything because he doesn't agree with us using community care. Well, unfortunately, not everybody has a VA in their backyard. And so we've got to have community care. And so, but he held all that up. If you can stay away from them, but find those that can come over and have Democrats help, that's great. But don't try to cut a deal with us and make it to where we can't get the power, the good legislation that we need and that we promised the American people to deliver on.
Well, we're going to be watching closely, Congressman. We appreciate your insight.
Don't doubt that a bit. Everybody should be watching closely.
Yeah. Thank you for the vocabulary lesson. We look forward to having you back. And you guys are going to get so much done, you're going to have to come back all the time. So we're looking forward to the next.
It's going to be really big. Yep. Really big.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Congressman Mike Bost, Illinois' representative in the 11th, or in the 12th district, I should say. He also chairs the House Veterans Affairs Committee, a very important part of what Congress does. Great to have a great relationship with him. And he comes here to talk to you. So we appreciate that. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I don't know if I've even read this on the air yet. The YouTube poll for today is: the size and scope of the LA fires a result of government mismanagement? Yes, no, or you're not sure. I never put not sure in a poll because it's a poll. Make a commitment. But I wanted to give people the opportunity to say, I'm watching this and I'm thinking, ooh, this looks bad, but I'm not. I'm not ready to make that full commitment to saying, yes, this is absolutely based on government mismanagement. Annie Fry YouTube channel, let us know what you think. Tell us why you said yes or no or why, what you're still looking at. Love to hear what your thoughts are. Chris says, I said yes, wildfires happen, but no water in hydrants is a government issue. What do you think? We'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is interesting, Kennedy, because I hearken back just days ago. Watch me hearken.
Mm. Oh.
January 6th, the Democrats applauding themselves.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jantine?
Yeah, for, yes, Jantine. For peaceful transfer of power to Hitler.
Yeah.
Ah, Gutfeld, way to deliver the line. It is ironic how comfortable they were watching. I mean, people did praise Kamala Harris for the way she handled it. And I'm one of them. You go back and listen that day. I was like, she did a good job. That would have been really hard. Really hard to watch. And you know that everybody knows that because all the headlines that day were Kamala Harris presides over her own defeat. It wasn't Donald Trump certified as president-elect. It was mostly about Kamala Harris because it's not you. You don't usually have to be the one who makes the trophy presentation when you're the loser, when you're the second place person. But for the Democrats, it's been more than that because they chose to make it more than that. They call him Hitler. They say that it's the end of democracy. Again, anybody who is telling you that the only way to preserve democracy is to only ever vote for them, you should ask questions about that. Gutfeld makes a great point there. The YouTube live chat poll for today, is the size and scope of the LA fires a result of government mismanagement? Yes, no, you're not sure. Zachary Levi, he is the prince from Tangled. That's how I know him most. I think he's also Shazam. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, Shazam.
What was Shaq? Wasn't he a Shazam?
Kazam.
Is it different?
I think so. I think his character was more of a genie.
People confuse Zachary Levi and Shaq all the time.
Yeah.
I was a big fan. I liked the movie Tangled, and I really liked his character in that, Flynn Rider. It's a very interesting development over the course of the election to watch him come out and be somebody who really ended up saying, like, some of the things that I saw him saying when he was on stage was introducing Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr., and he basically said, Donald Trump supports these people, so therefore he is my choice. It wasn't like MAGA, 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 MAGA. But since then, he kind of has become that way. I've seen the same thing with the likes of Jillian Michaels, a trainer from The Biggest Loser. You probably know who she is. I'm a huge fan of hers. I love her delivery. I think I have a Jillian Michaels in my head telling me to, like, that's kind of the way my brain processes things. That's a crazy thing to say. These people who are not pro-Trump people, they were pro-RFK Jr. people, pro-Tulsi people, whatever, have now come around that they don't have to give you that, like, stepping stone of, I like RFK Jr., therefore I will vote for Trump. Now it's like the Democrats have failed and Donald Trump is the catalyst to success once again. And I really feel like we're going to see more. Maybe not, like, more people getting into the stepping stone portion of supporting the party of power in our federal government. Here's Zachary Levi talking about California.
This is just incredible mismanagement, incredibly poor leadership. I would go so far as to say that it's criminally negligent because, I mean, Gavin Newsom has been either the governor for 5 years or lieutenant governor prior to that for 8-9 years. Some of the worst fires we've ever had in California under that watch. He clearly knows that the biggest problem that we suffer in California are these fires. And by the way, the mudslides that follow. And for them to do essentially not just nothing, but worse than nothing, when firefighter budgets are being cut, when they are specifically intentionally not doing the work that could be done to avoid these problems or to be able to effectively serve them when they are happening, we are losing, I mean, I think it's something like millions of acres of feet of water runoff from rain and snow every year in California. As you pointed out, I think the smelt have something to do with that. That's an acre foot of water, by the way, is about 330 30,000 gallons of water. And there's millions of those that are just rolling off into the ocean when they could be captured in cisterns. They could be, we'd have an ecosystem of hoses and safety measures that can keep all of these homes and people in these homes safe. And for some reason, they choose to do none of that.
Yeah. Flynn Rider there is saying that Gavin Newsom should be criminally negligent. Zachary Levi, the actor, of course, talking about how the people who have managed these areas and these systems are responsible for this. And it's costing people, of course, their property and their livelihoods, but it has cost lives. And Zachary Levi is one of those people who is out there saying, no, there has to be somebody held accountable for it. So I'm watching this and I'm observing this and I'm taking in different people's opinions and I'm seeing on X people who are like, I don't know why my X account has started serving me a lot of people who are activists on the left. I don't know why that is. I did not follow them. There is a lot of great frustration that exists from people as they stare upon these fires. They're very angry at, you bet, you got it, Donald Trump for trying to politicize this moment by saying Gavin Newsom should do better. The fires are raging in the state of California that is run by Gavin Newsom. Donald Trump is in zero position of official power at this point. Maybe you could say as president-elect, he stepped into it. Donald Trump has no responsibility in the instance of what is taking place in California, and it's all on Gavin Newsom as the buck stopper in the state. And it's post after post after post of, I don't know why I'm getting these in my feed, but it's like, okay, I guess I know these people are out there. And they are enraged at Donald Trump for trying to politicize this and point fingers at Gavin Newsom and make this political. It's a really ironic moment because you're realizing that in that moment, while these people are in their homes watching the fire rage towards them, the problem that they see is Donald Trump. That's a sickness. Anderson Cooper asked Gavin
Newsom,
what
is the situation with the water? Obviously, in Palisades, ran out last night in the hydrants. I was talking to the firefighter on this block. Yeah. They left because there was no water in the hydrant here.
The local folks are trying to figure that out. I mean, just when you have a system that's not dissimilar to what we've seen in other extraordinarily large-scale fires, whether it be pipe, electricity, or whether it just be the complete overwhelm of the system. I mean, those hydrants are typical for two or three fires, maybe one fire. You have something at this scale. But again, that's going to be determined by the local.
That's going to be determined by the local people. Is that going to be a satisfactory answer? Because what he's saying there is that he doesn't have an answer and that if you want the answer, go somewhere else to find it. I think if I were in his position right now, I would, assuming it was genuine, I would be answering Anderson Cooper with the rage that I felt in that moment on behalf of the people that I represent and serve. Not some sort of casual, well, you'll have to talk to the local leadership about that. That to me seems to be a little bit out of touch. And Gavin Newsom, he has not ever, it seems as though he intentionally doesn't, but he does not represent his position as governor of that state as if he is one of the people who he represents. Like, he is a citizen, taxpaying citizen, I would assume, of California. He doesn't present himself. When he's speaking with Anderson Cooper, he always speaks as somebody who is standing in front of the people, talking to them, as opposed to standing in front of his people, facing the challenge, facing what's in front of him, and leading his people, walking with his people to a place where they can find success. And in this instance, safety and security. I wouldn't feel comfortable right now in Gavin Newsom's California more than ever. We'll see what happens as they continue to riot, to push back against these raging fires. Go vote in the YouTube poll and let us know if you think that government has had an effect on the catastrophe.
Get more at 971talk.com.